لا أريد سواه هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو الله ربي لا أريد سواه هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو الله ربي لا أريد سواه هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو فالشمس والقمر من أنوار حكمته والبحر والأرض خير من عطاياه فالشمس والقمر من أنوار حكمته والبحر والأرض خير من عطاياه لا أريد سواه هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم تر أن الفلك تجري في البحر بنعمة الله ليريكم من آياته إن في ذلك لآيات لكل صبار شكور وإذا غشيهم موج كالظلل دعوا الله مخلصين له الدين فلما نجاهم إلى البر فمنهم مقتصد وما يجحد بآياتنا إلا كل ختار كفور يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم واخشوا يوما لا يجزي والد عن ولده ولا مولود هو جاز عن والده شيئا إن وعد الله حق فلا تغرنكم الحياة الدنيا ولا يغرنكم بالله الغرور إن الله عنده علم الساعة وينزل الغيث ويعلم ما في الأرحام وما تدري نفس ماذا تكسب غدا وما تدري نفس بأي أرض تموت إن الله عليم خبير
Inshallah, we're going to conclude Surah Luqman today, and we're going to start today from ayah number 31 of Surah Luqman. There are a few subjects that are going to be discussed, and we will go through each one as we come across them, inshallah. Firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in ayah number 31, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ الْفُلْكَ تَجْرِي فِي الْبَحْرِ بِنِعْمَةِ اللَّهِ لِيُرِيَكُمْ مِنْ آيَاتِهِ Do you not see that the boats, they run in the ocean with the ni'mah, the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that He could show you from His signs. So each and everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created actually is a means of understanding His greatness, is a reflection of the greatness of our Creator. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, He gives us an example that you put these huge boats, huge cruise ships, warships, inside the water, and logically you would expect them to sink. But the shape of the ship, coupled with the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this huge thing, it floats. And not only does it float, it goes across hundreds and thousands of miles of ocean, getting from one place to another. And then you can take the same example to understand, you know, the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through seeing the planes which are flying. We live close to the airport, so we see planes coming in and out all the time. And it's become an everyday thing for us to see that. But again, logically thinking that how is it that these huge machines are flying through the sky made of metal and with the all of the luggage and all of the human beings sitting inside them, how is it even possible that that's happening? So it is obviously the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has enabled us and given the human beings the intelligence to create such things, and that is basically again something that we should understand the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through seeing those things. So Allah says that these things, these ships, they are cruising in the oceans, they are sailing in the oceans, okay, لِيُرِيَكُمْ مِنْ آيَاتِ. And why is that? So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could show you His signs. So firstly, the actual boat itself is a sign, and on top of that, when people are going into the oceans, they see all kinds of wildlife. They see the whales, and they see the different kind of fish, and different kind of turtles, and the birds that are flying around. So that again is a means of reflecting upon the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be seen by a person while traveling in the ocean, and also when a person reaches his destination, there is different kinds of wildlife that he finds in his destination that is not found at his home, okay, where he lives. And again, that makes him marvel at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all of these things in such perfection and in such a beautiful way. لِيُرِيَكُمْ مِنْ آيَاتِهِ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِكُلِّ صَبَّارٍ شَكُورٍ. Indeed, in this there are ayat, there are huge signs for every person who is sabbar and shakur, who has sabr in him and he who is grateful. The word actually sabbar, it has a lot more stress, okay? One is sabir, okay? إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Inna Allaha ma'a sabirin. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the people of sabr. There the word used is sabir. Here the word used is sabbar. And basically it indicates that sabr has become part of his life. It is an everyday part of his life. And this wazn or this method or this wording is used to describe actually people who trade in things. Okay? So khabbaz means a person who bakes bread, okay, who's a baker, khabbaz. Najjar means a person who is a carpenter, okay. Haddad means a person who works with iron, a blacksmith, okay. So sabbar means a person on an everyday basis, he is engaging in sabr and he has made sabr a part of his life. And you probably heard me mention many times before that sabr is not just when a person is going through a hard time, he has sabr. No, there are different types of sabr. One type of sabr is as-sabr anil ma'asiyah, that a person, he stays away from ma'asi, he stays away from sin. As-sabr ala ta'ah means to stay steadfast upon doing good deeds. This is also a form of sabr. And of course, as-sabr ala al-musibah, that when a person is going through hardship, he is going through difficulties, then he engages in sabr. This is also a form of sabr. So a sabbar is a person who has all these forms of sabr within him. And the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ, it is with those people who have all of these types of sabr. Not the person who is just, you know, who is patient when he's going through adversity, but a person who has all of these types of sabr in him, that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be with him. So, sabbar and shakur is a person obviously who is grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, shakir, shakur, shakur is more emphasis upon being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this word, sabr, these two words, sabr and shukr, they are basically put hand in hand with each other, and they are put next to each other, because a person, a true mu'min, is the one who has both of these qualities in him. Okay, if he's going through difficulty, he has sabr, and if he is going through good times, then he is grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both of these qualities within him. And this is the subject of a hadith that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. It is a strange thing that a mu'min has. A person who is a believer, it is strange for him that all situations are good for him. Whether a person is going through difficulties, that is good for him. And if a person is going through good times, that is also good for him. Why? Because when he's going through difficulties, he has sabr within him. And when he's going through good times, he has gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So basically, every single situation that a Muslim is going through, that is actually good for him. Why? Because he does what he's supposed to be doing in that particular situation, and that is showing his obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by being either patient or being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So every situation is good for a mu'min. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِكُلِّ صَبَّارٍ شَكُورٍ. Indeed, in these things that have been mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, the ship sailing through the seas and all of the other things that a person can reflect upon. These are signs for every sabbar and every shakur. Every person who is patient, every person who is shakir, who is grateful. In other words, for every person who has iman, there are signs. The main thing is the person needs to reflect upon those signs and through those signs understand the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, وَإِذَا غَشِيَهُمْ مَوْجٌ كَالظُّلَلِ دَعَوُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. When a person is going through hardships to a point that he feels that maybe his life is in danger, that is the time when he truly turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking particularly about the mushrikeen of Mecca, that they used to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, they used to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there is one great creator up there. But at the same time, they used to worship all of these other idols. But when they were going through any type of difficulty, they used to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, and even you can say an atheist, for example, he jumps out of a plane with a parachute and his parachute doesn't open. Okay, a person who doesn't even believe in God, he is going to call out to God and start praying somehow. Okay, so this is the situation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing. You know, from the previous ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about boats and ships, etc. So here he says that when a person is sailing in this ship and he's going through and he's right in the middle of the ocean, and then suddenly a storm hits. Allah describes how the people are going to react. وَإِذَا غَشِيَهُمْ مَوْجِ. When the waves overpower them. Ghishyan means to come over them. كَالظُّلَل. Like clouds. Okay, the oceans, the waves are supposed to be underneath the ship, but they are coming so high that it seems like they're clouds. What do they do? دَعَوُ اللَّهَ. They call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. Sincerely making the deen for him, meaning sincerely showing their belief in him, saying that, oh Allah, if you save me from this, then you know I'm going to worship you forever and ever, and I'm going to make sure that I'm never going to disobey you. And basically that is the thing that all human beings go through when they are going through difficulty. Then they make long du'as to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, just take me out of this problem and I will worship you forever ever and ever, and I'll be grateful to you forever and ever. But then, the reality is that when a person is taken out of that, he tends to forget. So here, the same thing happens. وَإِذَا غَشِيَهُمْ مَوْجٌ. When the waves overpower them, كَالظُلَلْ, like clouds, they call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sincerely making the deen for him. فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُمْ مِنَ الْبَرِّ فَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدٌ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves them and puts them on the dry land, there are some that become muqtasid. Muqtasid, there are different meanings explained by scholars. The actual meaning of muqtasid means a person who is in the middle. Okay, so muqtasid, one understanding is that some people, they stay on that straight path that they've adopted. In gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for saving them, they say, oh Allah, I'm so grateful to you, I'm going to spend my life in your obedience, and I'm never going to disobey you again. So, فَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدْ. Some people, they remain steadfast. Another meaning is, فَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدْ, that even those atheists and those people who are committing shirk, they, despite the fact that they will go back to their shirk, or they will go back to their atheism, but their rigidness in their atheism, or their rigidness in shirk, will become mild because of the fact that they become grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But even though, they will still go back to the atheism and the shirk that I've just mentioned. فَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدْ. وَمَا يَجْحَدُ بِآيَاتِنَا إِلَّا كُلُّ خَتَّارٍ كَفُورٍ. And nobody denies our signs except the one who is khattar, meaning the one who is treacherous, and the one who is kafur, who is ungrateful. Okay, so basically, what Allah is saying is that the person who, on the one hand, he promised to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he would obey him, he has become treacherous. He is showing treachery by being disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He promised that He would show His obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, in fact, what He is truly saying is that, whatever happened was, for example, the atheist, he will turn around and he will, when he gets to dry land, he will say that the reason that we were saved was because of the skill and the mastery of the sailors that were, controlling the boat. Okay? Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes out of the window again. Okay? Because the sailors were great, the captain of the ship was great, and he managed to basically control the ship, that's why we were saved. Okay? And the people who are committing shirk, they are going to attribute this being saved to idols or saints or whatever it is that they commit their shirk with. Okay, so khattar, the person who is treacherous, and kafur, ungrateful. Why? Because he's ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that on the one hand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him, and now on the other hand he's being ungrateful to him by not showing his gratitude by being obedient to him anymore. And this is, again, like I said, the reality for all of us. It is the natural human instinct to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in times of difficulty, and then when times are good, we tend to forget and we tend to neglect. And this is very, very important to understand this. It is this human instinct that we're supposed to fight and to try to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is actually showing gratitude, to be obedient to Him in all times, to make dua to Him at all times. And, keep a connection with Him at all times, and not just in times of difficulty. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the Day of Judgment. To be aware that, look at this small event that you went through, okay? This small difficulty that you went through, and how you became so upset that you were afraid of losing your lives. Think about this huge day that is about to come. The Day of Judgment, in which after the judgment is passed, either you'll be eternally successful and in eternal bliss and eternal happiness, or you'll be in eternal failure and eternal doom and eternal misery. Okay, so this is the thing that we need to think about. Okay, the events that we have in this world, they are nothing. The illness that we have in this world, it is nothing. Okay, the hardship that we have in this world, it is nothing. And that is what is mentioned in a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that on the Day of Judgment, the two people who are in two extremes, they'll be brought forth in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who was the richest person, who had everything that he could have imagined, and he had the happiest life ever, that person is going to be put into Jahannam for a millisecond, and then he's going to be taken out. And then when he's taken out, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him, "Did you ever see any good in your life?" And that millisecond that he was in Jahannam made him forget about everything. All of the good that he ever saw in his life, he will forget about it, and he will say that I never saw any good in my life. And on the other hand, the person who had the most miserable existence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put him into Jannah for a millisecond and take him out, and he will ask him, "Did you ever see misery in your life?" Say, "No, I never saw any misery in my life." That one second, millisecond in Jannah is enough to make him forget everything. Okay, so what that shows is that the catastrophes of this world, the hardships of this world, the illnesses of this world, the unemployment of this world, okay, all of the disputes that we have of this world, the stress of this world, it is nothing compared to the hereafter. And this is what the next ayah is emphasizing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ya ayyuhan nas, ittaqoo rabbakum." O people, fear your Lord. Ittaqoo rabbakum, have the taqwa of your Lord, have the awareness of your Lord. And we've talked again before many times about the understanding of taqwa. It's not like the taqwa is, the fear is not that you fear like a monster above you who is about to send a thunderbolt every time you commit a sin. The fear is to displease that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that creator who loves you so much that His love is 70 times more than your own mother. Okay, we hate to displease our parents, we hate to displease our mother, so how can we displease the one who loves us 70 times even more than our mothers? Okay, so that's what taqwa is. Fearing, displeasing that one who loves us so much. So fear your Lord. وَخْشَوْ يَوْمًا لَا يَجْزِي وَالِدٌ عَنْ وَلَدِهِ. And fear that day on which the father cannot recompense or cannot help his son, or he cannot pay back his son. The word used is jaza. Okay, so the understanding of jaza is when somebody does something to you and you respond back with a favor. Okay, so when you when somebody says does something good for you, what do you say? Jazakallahu khairan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. Okay, so Allah is using this word here that the father will not be able to give jaza to his son. So it means that even though his son did so good to him in the worldly life, and he did everything that was required of him in the worldly life, and if the father could, he would pay him back and recompense him, but still on the day of judgment he cannot do that. Even though the father may have owed him a lot in terms of all of the good that the child did for the father. Okay? So jaza, he cannot even do that. Forget about making ihsan to him and doing good to him. You're not going to be able to do it. And here the word used, walad. Walad is basically child, grandchild, etc. All can be included in that. Okay? So the father cannot do anything. He cannot recompense, he cannot repay his child or his grandchild. وَلَا مَوْلُودٌ هُوَ جَازٍ عَنْ وَالِدِهِ شَيْئًا. And the mawlud, meaning the child, and here the word used is mawlud. Before it was walad, here it's mawlud. And mawlud actually means real biological son, direct son. And again, the direct son, you expect him to do whatever he can for his father, right? Okay, the grandchild, you don't expect that much because, you know, the connection is not as strong as the biological child with the actual father, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he uses the word mawlud. So even the mawlud, the biological son, cannot repay his father with anything. So again, the word is used, repaying. So the father did everything for him that he could in this world to a point, yes, the child should be repaying him back. And he owes him a lot. But on the day of judgment, he cannot pay him back. Okay, so وَلَا مَوْلُودٌ هُوَ جَازٍ عَنْ وَالِدِهِ شَيْئًا. The mawlud, he cannot even repay his father with anything. In fact, on that day, other ayat indicate يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِي. Everybody is going to be running away from each other, hiding from each other. The father from the child from the father, the wife from the husband from the wife. Everybody is going to be running from each other, that my relative might ask me for my blessings and I have no choice but to keep all of those blessings for myself because I don't know what situation I'm going to be in. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, Inna wa'adullahi haqq. Indeed, the truth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true. Whatever is going to happen is going to happen. The day of judgment will come. So believe it. Okay, don't deny it. Inna wa'adullahi haqq. فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. This worldly life should not deceive you. Okay, what we tend to do is we think of our life as being the purpose of our existence. Our life is not the purpose of our existence. The purpose of our existence is the hereafter. The world has been created for us, but our creation is for the hereafter. Okay? الدنيا خلقت لكم وأنتم خلقتم للآخرة, according to hadith. The dunya has been created for you, but you have been created for the hereafter. Okay, so فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمْ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. This worldly life, it should not deceive you into thinking that this is the only thing that we need to live for. You only live once, as they say. You only live once, so make the most of it. Okay? No, we don't only live once. We live after death also. And that is the thing that we need to be focusing on. وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. And the gharur, meaning the deceiver, should not deceive you about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And generally speaking, the gharur, it means deceiver, and we would take that to mean the shaitan, but for every single person, he has a different deceiver. Alright, in reality. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't use the word shaitan, but he uses the word deceiver. Because for one person, his money is deceiving him. For another person, his children are deceiving him. For another person, you know, his desires are deceiving him. For another person, his treasures are deceiving him. His house is deceiving him. So for every single person, there is a deceiver that is deceiving him from focusing on the hereafter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to every single person that the thing that is deceiving you, make sure that you don't let it deceive you. Whatever that thing is, whether it's the shaitan, or whether it's your desires, whether it's your short-sightedness in focusing only on this world, whatever it is, do not let you deceive that about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, focus on the hereafter. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes on to say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has the knowledge of the hour, meaning the Day of Judgment. Nobody knows when it's going to take place, and everybody knows the hadith of Jibreel, when Jibreel alayhi salam came in the shape of a human being to teach people the religion, and he asked the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, مَتَ السَّاعَةِ, when is the sa'ah going to take place? So the response was, مَا الْمَسْؤُولُ عَنْهَا بِأَعْلَمَ مِنَ السَّائِلِ, the person who's being questioned, he doesn't have more knowledge than the one who is actually questioning. Neither Jibreel alayhi salam knew, neither did the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam know. Yes, there were signs that indicate to us and were taught to us by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that will indicate to us that the Day of Judgment is getting closer and closer. Okay, but other than that, the exact time of it, nobody knows. So the first thing, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has the knowledge of the sa'ah. And then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells us four things that generally speaking, we do not know anything about. Okay, and it is basically to show us the limited power that we as human beings have. The limited knowledge that us as human beings have, despite the fact that science has made so many advancements and so many leaps and bounds over the years, but despite that, we are not aware of the things that are mentioned in these verses, or at least not 100% in a foolproof way. Okay, what are those things? وَيُنَزِّرُ الْغَيْثِ, He makes the rain fall. He makes the rain fall. Okay, so you might argue that, okay, we know, generally speaking, the weatherman, when he tells us the rain is going to fall, it's going to be, a couple of inches, and it's going to fall here, here, and here, by looking at the signs and all of these things. But that is by looking at the signs. Okay, it is not ilmul ghayb to do that. It is, if you were to look into a crystal ball and say, okay, it's going to rain after 2 days, and be correct, that would be knowledge of the unseen. Okay, but if you're looking at signs like the clouds and the wind patterns and low pressure, high pressure, all of these things which are related to weather, meteorology, then it would be, okay, you are giving the estimate according to those signs, okay, not through knowledge that you have by yourself. And in any case, many times, the weatherman is wrong, okay? We know what happened the last few days with the snow and all that kind of stuff. They weren't expecting that much snow. And even the first snowfall and the first ice storm, it completely came out of the blue. Nobody was expecting it. Okay, so the weatherman says one thing, and many times it tends to be wrong. Okay, so وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ, He is the one who makes the rainfall, and we don't have the power to make the rainfall in other places. We only just wait for it to fall in certain locations. Okay, so that's one thing. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ, and He knows what is in the wombs. Okay, so one might argue that nowadays you can find out the gender of your child, and it is pretty accurate, but in many cases it tends to be inaccurate also. Okay, we know one brother in our community, Abu Muhammad, is not here. Okay, Abu Muhammad, he was saying all the time during his wife's pregnancy that it's a girl, and at the end he bought everything for girls, all the clothing and everything, it turned out to be a boy. The child's name is Musa. You might have seen him. Okay, so وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ, He knows what is in the arham. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only knows what is in the arham. Another meaning of this could be is, okay, you can find out what the gender is, and whether it's male or female, but do you know how long this child is going to live? Do you know whether it's going to be a fortunate person, misfortunate person, pious, not pious, all of these things, you don't know that, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing what is in the wombs, it includes all of these things which we have no clue about. We have no clue about them, and we will never find out about them. So He knows what is in the arham. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا. And no soul knows what he will earn tomorrow. Okay, so nobody knows where his earning is going to be from. Yes, a person has a general idea of, you know, his earnings, his salary, etc. But who knows? Tomorrow he might lose his job, and, you know, or he might get a promotion, okay, and get a better salary. Okay, so nobody knows what he's going to earn tomorrow. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what a person's earnings are going to be like and where he's going to get his rizq and sustenance from. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٍ. And no soul knows on which earth he will die. Nobody knows where a person is going to die. A person will try his level best to die in a particular place that he wants to, but ultimately what is going to happen is that, you know, whatever has been written for him, it will occur, and he will end up dying in a completely different place than he had planned to. Okay, so nobody knows where he will die. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٍ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is alim, He is all-knowing, and khabir, He is all-aware. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just gave us a few examples of the limited capacity of the human being here. Okay, that these things, these are everyday things for you. Day to day, you see them. You see the rain falling, you see the sun coming out, you know, your earnings, your salary, okay, death you see happening on a day-to-day basis, children coming into the existence on a day-to-day basis, yet you are so powerless and you are so limited in your knowledge about these things that you are never 100% sure about these things that have been mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what about all the rest of the knowledge that's out there? What about the unseen knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has that He hasn't even mentioned? All of the different sciences, all of the different, you know, types of knowledge that are out there that we have no clue about. Okay, we're continuously making discoveries. We are finding out new things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has all of that knowledge already in His power. He knew about all of these things because He is the creator of them. So this verse actually, it gives us this understanding of how powerless we are in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Powerless to even understand our day-to-day things. What about all the rest of the stuff? What about what is going to happen in the future? What about when the Day of Judgment is going to take place? We have no knowledge and no clue whatsoever. So through this again, through this ayah, we understand the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is alim, He is all-knowing, and He is khabir, He is all-aware. With this, we finish the Surah Luqman, and inshallah from next week we're going to be starting Surah An-Nur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard.
لا أريد سواه هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو الله ربي لا أريد سواه هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو